email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So it is Tuesday after the bank holiday, so our consumer champion Conor Pope is here just a day later than usual. And just a reminder, you can email pricewatch@rte.ie with any of your problems and consumer queries. Hello Conor, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you getting on?
I'm not too bad at all now. Now we're going to jump into today's problem email to pricewatch@rte.ie straight away first, and then we'll jump to the other things afterwards. So have a listen to this. I am about to buy a car, my first one. It is secondhand, obviously, and I'm buying it from a person who was advertising it online. It looks good to me, but I'm just a little concerned because at €3,000, it is about €2,000 cheaper than other cars of the same age and roughly the same mileage. I am tempted to buy it because it is such a good deal. But could I be ripped off here? Interesting.
The phrase that leaps off the page at me there is, it looks good to me, right? Now, we've all been there. You want to buy your first car, or indeed your fifth car, and you're looking for the best value for money you possibly can. But you can never, ever, ever allow yourself to be swayed exclusively by price. Mm. And particularly when it comes to a car, and particularly if you're buying it as a private sale, because there's a huge distinction to be made between buying a car privately and buying a car off a dealership. And when you buy a car privately, you have almost no rights should something go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So that means that you need to do your homework before you give them the money. And if you don't do your homework before you give them the money and something goes pear-shaped, you're kind of on your own. So it's really important that you don't rely on the "it looks good to me" thing, okay? So the first thing this person has to do is they have to get it checked over by a mechanic that they trust. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an absolutely essential thing, because the mechanic might charge you €200, but if the mechanic stops you buying a car for €3,000,
you save the money.
Turns out to be a dud, it's the best money you'll ever spend. Mm-hmm. Or similarly, the mechanic might say, do you know what, that's actually really good value, something might go wrong with it, but if it does, you can do X, Y and Z to put it right, or whatever it might be. Because like, you don't know exactly what's going to happen with a car. So that's the first thing that I would do. Get a person who knows about it to check it out. The second thing that you need to do is to be prepared to walk away from the deal. Because an awful lot of the time, we have already imagined ourselves driving the car and living our best lives before we even go and see it. And it can be very hard then to break that kind of emotional attachment that you have to the thing that you don't even own. Yeah. So always be prepared to say no. So if it's not working out, or if it looks a bit dodgy, just walk away from it. Because again, it'll save you some heartache. Other things that you need to do before you hand over the money, you need to ask the person selling the car a couple of questions. Has the car ever been crashed? Mm-hmm. Is the mileage correct? And is there any outstanding finance on the car? Now, by that I mean, it's quite possible, it happens, that somebody buys a car, there's still €2,000 owing on the car, they sell the car, and then when you start driving it, it turns out you don't own the car at all, because it's owned by the PCP company or the finance company who gave them the money in the first instance.
But do they have to tell you the truth?
Of course they don't. And this is my next point. Because if someone's going to be selling you a dodgy car, they're probably not going to be straight up. But there are a couple of websites out there, Cartel and motorcheck.ie, mm-hmm. that allow you to check the history of a car. So it'll tell you, for instance, if the car is a UK import. It'll tell you if the car has been written off. It'll give you it'll tell you if there's any outstanding finance on the car. And you know, you can also get a sense of the mileage, because one of the big problems we have nowadays is with cars being clocked. Yeah. And in times past, when they had, like, you're probably too young to remember this now, but in the old days they had these like mechanical dials that would clock up the miles on your car, right?
Thanks a million for the compliment there.
and to reverse the mileage was a bit of a hassle. Yeah. But like, I did a TV program on this a couple of years back, and it's so simple to clock a car nowadays, because they're all computers. So you just plug the car into a computer, give it the mileage that you want it to have, and bingo, you're off to the races. So you got to check all of that stuff. But as I say, always ask the person if they're, you know, who they're selling, if they're selling it for themselves, or if they or if they're selling it for, you know, if they own it themselves, or if they're selling it on behalf of someone else. And just do your, it all boils down to just do your homework. It might take you half a day to get all of those boxes ticked, but it's so much worth it. It's worth it.
I do think it goes back to the old saying too, though, if it's too good to be true, then it probably is.
But it is, that is true. But the other thing is, because you're getting it as a private sale, private sales are always a bit cheaper than buying it off a dealer. Because you're not getting the dealer markup and all of that stuff. And somebody might want to get rid of it quickly. But if you do your homework, it can work out. But it also can go wrong.
So let's move on now to a very interesting topic, I have to say. The high cost of being single.
So yeah, it is much more expensive to be single, isn't it? Like, and there's a lot of people, single occupant households out there, according to census figures. I think one in four households now are single occupants. And there are so many different ways that people who are single are financially penalised. Now, obviously, the cost of a home, whether you rent it or you buy it, is the single biggest expense that most of us have. And it's absolutely penal for a single person, because if you want to rent a modestly sized home in Dublin right now, like, you'd be looking at the guts of $2,000, right? And that's not a big house. So, you know, that a couple are obviously spending €1,000 each. The single person is paying the €2,000 up front. But they're actually penalised on another level as well, because in recent times, over the last couple of years, as what were called so-called once-off measures from the government gave a tax credit to renters over 3 years. So it started out at a €500 tax credit, then a €750 tax credit, and in the last budget, they gave a €1,000 tax credit. But if you're part of a couple, both parties to the couple get the tax credit. So that tax credit is worth €2,000.
Yeah.
If you're a single person renting, it's only €1,000. So spread out over the cost of a year, a single person probably pays the guts of €10,000 more in rent than a couple, than the two people who are part of a couple. And then, of course, if you're buying a house, it can be even more financially challenging, because, you know, if you want to buy a €400,000 house, and again, in the terrible thing about modern Ireland is that's not even a big house, you know, depending on where you're living. But a single person needs to earn €100,000 to qualify for a mortgage. The couple can each earn €50,000 each. And then there's more than that, because when it comes to heating and lighting your home, like, when you light a room,
it's just on, no matter how many people are in it. Exactly, yeah.
It doesn't matter if there's one or 50 people in the room, you still need the lights on. Similarly, if you're cooking dinner and you're heating the home, like, all of those costs are the same irrespective of how many people you're cooking for. Now, obviously, if you're cooking for an army of 50, it's slightly different. But if you're cooking for two people or one person, the costs are, broadly speaking, similar. And it's the same deal when it comes to all the other utilities for your streaming services, for your broadband, you know, for your telecoms, all of that stuff. The single person has to pay effectively the same price as the person who's part of a couple. All of those bills are split evenly for when you're in a couple. The single person has to bear the brunt of that. Now, obviously, there's a slight saving when it comes to your mobile phone, because obviously a couple will have two mobile phones. The single person will only have one mobile phone. But you'd be looking at savings of about €30 or €40. And then there's other sneaky ones that I didn't even realise were a thing, but they are. Insurance companies alter their quotes based on your marital status, okay?
Really?
So, a couple getting car insurance might pay one charge. They might pay €300 each. A single person might pay €500. And when you contact the insurance companies about that, they'll say, well, we actually have actuarial evidence to prove that a single person is more likely to make a claim on their car insurance than a person who's part of a couple. And as a result, they pay a higher price. So the difference there might run to 10, 15%, which is, of course, about 70 or 80 quid, depending on your car insurance policy. And then there's the one that really irritates a lot of people, which is the single supplement on holidays. And, you know, you might rent, like, some hotels, they charge, you know, €100 for the room. €200 for the room, and that's it, whatever it might be. But then there's the single supplement, which is they might charge, a package holiday company might charge a price per person, and it's based on per, you know, per person sharing. So it might be €500 per person sharing, but then the single person has to pay €800.
But does the tax code favour the single person?
Well, not as much.
I'm trying to get some good news for the singles out there, Connor. You know what I mean? Like, is there any good news there for them?
No, sorry. It actually would have favoured, like, if you're part of a couple and one person works and one person works in the home, well, then the person who works in the home can share their tax-free allowance with the person who works outside the home. So actually, it can be the tax code can favour couples, but again, not as much as it used to in times past, because there was a time when people who were single were much more heavily penalised as a result of their taxes.
Well, let's end in a positive now for the people. It's not all bad news for the single people, surely.
No, it's not, absolutely. Well, for a start, there's nobody hogging the remote control. You don't have to buy expensive birthday presents or Valentine's Day presents or Christmas Day, Christmas presents.
True.
So you do save a few bob on that score. But you know what? It just doesn't seem right that people, because of their status in life, have
Absolutely.
To pay more than other people.
Yeah.
And you know, and whatever about the splitting the cost of renting and you know, buying a house or whatever, they're kind of understandable. It's hard to get around them, but I think that, you know, the tax incentives that are out there for people should be equally distributed amongst people, no matter their status.
Completely agree with you there, Conor Pope. Thank you as always for chatting with us. Pricewatch@rte.ie for any of your consumer problems. That's all for today. Thank you so much for listening and for contributing and getting in touch. Enjoy your Tuesday evening. Thank you to Jamie on sound and Grace, our producer. Stay tuned to Drive Time with Cormac and talk to you tomorrow.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.